Audio Paper 2, Mediating Sustainable Cities, Creative Migrants and Urban Sustainability.
Welcome to the series of audio papers, Mediating Sustainable Cities. I'm Paola Monachesi, researcher at Utrecht University. In this audio paper, we focus on the role of creative migrants in shaping an alternative smart city discourse in social media. After a brief introduction, I engage in a discussion with some of my students on urban sustainability. The discussion emerged in class after having read one of my papers on creative migrants and the smart city. Most of the students taking part in the debate are young creative migrants themselves, studying in the Netherlands. They tell us what is for them a sustainable city. We discuss about the role of technology and what can be done to improve city life. The smart city is an urban space shaped by global technology companies, governments, and knowledge institutions that collect and monitor data produced through digital devices. These data allow for a better understanding and efficient management of urban processes and contribute to more sustainable urban spaces. More specifically, the smart city agenda aims to support sustainability, which is often understood as a function of innovation in relation with technology. However, economic growth seems the main concern of urban development, and we wonder whether digitization can actually deliver sustainability, especially environmental protection and social equity. In order to give rise to more sustainable modes of urban development, technology should serve the needs of the citizens, and citizens should participate in innovation processes as co-creators. Data should be conceived as a common good and be open to local companies, social platforms, and organizations, creating long-term public value. Citizens should not be mere data providers, but decision makers.
Iceberg's on the track, boy.
In my work, I've addressed a specific group of citizens, that is creative skilled migrants. I've analyzed their role in broadcasting and innovative use of technology in support of sustainable urban development. The first step was to identify them in Twitter and then analyze their communication. I focus on this group because I believe that they can see opportunities for new ideas more than others. This is because they regularly shift between different cultural, linguistic, and social contexts. From the analysis emerges that creative migrants contribute to an alternative, more sustainable idea of smart city. Co-creation and participation are important issues in the discourse of creative migrants, but they also argue for the importance of datafication of urban space and acknowledge in this way the role of government and corporations in data governance. They combine technology with a participatory and socially driven discourse based on events, initiatives, and projects showing social and environmental engagement. This is especially evident in the case of the group of architects and designers. They are interested not only in technology and data, two of the features of the smart city discourse, but they relate them to the common good. They play an important role in broadcasting grassroots initiatives aimed at social inclusion and the circular economy. that discourse can contribute to give rise to a more emancipatory and innovative smart city agenda. They can raise awareness within civil society by broadcasting relevant topics and social, local activities through Twitter at global level, even beyond their professional circle, linking Amsterdam to the global networks of power represented by global cities. The creative migrants analyzed connect mainly with similar spaces, that is, cities such as New York, London, or Paris. Those spaces represent the ideal global city of the future in terms of architecture, progressive thinking, education, sustainability, and solutions for the migrants. I've asked my students what is for them a sustainable city and what is the role of technology in improving city life. We will hear the opinion of those that engage in the debate. They are Josine from the Netherlands, Sofia from Portugal, Vlad and Noemi from Romania, and Christo from Indonesia. They are young, creative migrants studying at Utrecht University. Good morning, everybody. Let's start right away. Okay, so what do you think a sustainable city should look like?
When I think about a sustainable city, I think about bicycles. So to become more sustainable, cities should create more space for bikes by creating more bicycle lanes and bicycle racks to put your bike, for example. And I feel like more people would choose their bikes over a car or public transport if there were more bike lanes and places to put your bikes, because some places currently aren't really accessible by bike, like some supermarkets or schools or other kinds of shops. Or maybe it's unsafe to go by bike because the bicycle lane is right next to a busy road, so you wouldn't feel safe to cycle there. I think these are things cities should consider if they want to become more sustainable. In case, for example, when you're in the Netherlands, I think it's a very Dutch thing to say, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Yassine. Indeed, I think in this respect, the Netherlands are really, very sustainable and a good example for the rest of Europe and the rest of the world.
For me, I think a sustainable city doesn't only mean that it should be like green and eco-friendly, because that's the first thought that comes to mind to me. But I think a sustainable city has to have jobs and future for its population. It has to have careers for them to grow and be able to have an affordable living there. So it has to have houses and transportation that are affordable and accessible to the normal population. And yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, thanks, Sofia. I think definitely makes sense. And that's probably, from you coming from Lisbon, that's probably the most obvious thing to say. Anybody else?
Yes, I would like to intervene here. So I am on the same page with Sofia, and I agree with her that a city should be sustainable in a green sense, in a resilient matter of speaking. And besides that, I think it should be focused on innovation, and it should aim to become a competitive place for businesses, on the other hand, for citizens. I think it should be, in order to become a sustainable city, the city should be well-governed, transparent, equitable, just with its citizens. So an overarching strategy for a city could become it's best for the citizens if we keep in mind these ideas.
Thanks lots. And yeah, I mean, I remember Romania. It was very green and sustainable in the past. I have these fantastic memories of the way it was in the 90s, when, you know, there were no cars pretty much. So you could go around with a horse, and women were washing clothes on the rivers, and there was no electricity in houses. And yeah, this was all very fantastic. And when I went back 10 years later, this whole image had changed. And yeah, especially in Iași, from where you're from, cars were killing people on the streets. I mean, this view had totally changed, in fact. And yeah, for me, it was really a shock. And yeah, I couldn't believe it, you know, the way the city had changed in such a short time. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else wants to intervene.
Yes, I would like to add something to this, because I see that you have this really fairy tale view of how Romania is supposed to be, or how it was in the 90s. I was born in the early 90s, so I still lived in that green area of era of Romania. I'm from a different part, from Transylvania, but I see some things that were similar. But I have to add that it's also because Romania is a post-communist country, and what you described, that was so fantastic, that people didn't have electricity and living was much more sustainable, washing in the rivers and everything. It's also related to poverty that was followed by the communist era and during communism. And it's not really, I don't see it in an urban way related to sustainability, but more related to an underdeveloped country. And sustainability in a way should be like, it's only achievable by developing the urban sites. However, I see a kind of a paradox, because I see sustainability, like you all said, a green thing, like greening the environment we live in. But as I experience here in Romania, it's really hard, because it's more and more cars, and with the coming of this capitalist society that's striving Romania to be like more Western, it became more less green, more busy, but with the same bad infrastructure that we had from communism. So it's somewhere like this disparity between how it used to be and how it strives to be. It's not really sustainable. And I see this change that younger people are trying to live more sustainable and advocate for sustainability, but the government is really behind with these kind of plans, because like, it's full of cars and public transport, it's just horrible, like it's really poor infrastructure. And for many, like my parents' generation and older generations, are still like not trusting the government and not trusting development, because it's really a really slow way of how things are going. And air quality here, it's also not the best in cities. So yeah, it's a fairy tale world that you describe, but since then many things change. And the only way I see we can go to grow sustainability in Romania is by going back to countryside and being more mindful about agriculture and these kind of things. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Naomi. Yeah, you're right, of course. It's true. You know, that's the image I had, being a tourist, being there for a few weeks. But it was fantastic, you know, to see this kind of environment that I had when I was in Italy, you know, as a kid.
Yeah, I think the discussion is getting more interesting, because most of you guys here are coming from Europe. Well, I'm coming from Asia, so obviously our perception of sustainable city is quite different. Yes, I mean, of course, our perception of sustainable city is more like an eco-friendly one, where like I believe it's crucial to have more green spaces and of course like walkable and bikeable neighborhoods. But I think like bikeable city is a luxury that many cities in Europe have, because like in my country, in my city in Jakarta, and many more cities in Asia, I think it is very important to have a good air quality, because here we don't really have good air quality since there's just a lot of people resides here, a lot of people use cars and not public transportation. And the reason people not using public transportation is because they're not good enough. It's not accessible. It doesn't reach all area of the city. So I think it's very important to have a good public transportation, of course. And another thing is universal healthcare and accessible public resources, equal digital infrastructure to all. Because again, despite Indonesia is a country that have one of the most biggest population, many of us does not have the luxury of internet. I mean, yes, in my city in Jakarta, a lot of people have the access to internet, but in other islands in Indonesia, they don't even have access to the internet. So I think that's my perception of sustainable city.
Yeah, thanks, Christo. It's true. I mean, air quality is something we forget. And also this divide between cities and countryside, you know, as Naomi was saying, I mean, maybe we should go back to the countryside, and maybe this whole idea of the smart city is not that strong anymore. And definitely, I think the pandemic also is playing a role. But on the other hand, I think it's true what you said. I mean, the digital infrastructure needs to be there. For me now, working in the countryside, there's also the issue of good internet. And also in Italy, you know, people are discussing more and more about having these small, nice, picturesque villages being open to the digital nomads, you know, especially now with smart working. But it's difficult, you know, if the infrastructure is not there and if the internet is not there. Which, leads me to the second question I want to ask about technology and data. You know, can technology and data maybe play a role in sustainability and in creating more sustainable cities? Do you see also, a connection between the two? Maybe even, you know, beyond what we've read about smart cities and technologies and sensors, you know, helping, monitoring everything and datifying, you know, everything. Yeah, Noemi, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I thought a lot about this because what I think it's, in Romania, it's the case that many people use social media, young especially, but also older generation now, but it's a really different kind of social media use. And that's why I'm afraid what the data will generate, it's not necessarily what the citizens need. And that's why I think it's really hard to do a smart city in places like developing countries like Romania, where smartphones and these kind of things are still new to generations that are like grew up in communism, for example, or just like I wasn't growing up with a smartphone, and I already feel the difference. Like the 10 year older younger generation, it's already in a different kind of relationship with technology. So in a country where citizens don't really trust their government and they don't really know what data is and how it can be used, and they just like free stuff because it's unbelievable to have something free, but they don't really understand that playing with data is something different than money, and it's still really a big contribution that can be exploited. I think it's a really hard question to talk about smart cities. Like in West, I see it's still utopistic for me, but of course I see Amsterdam, how it's thriving on being more sustainable and smart. But it really, I think you, when you talk about smart cities, you always have to take in consideration the local situation. it's really important to see, because I would see here how you can solve the traffic and the many cars and poor infrastructure by monitoring, like in the Netherlands, the train apps and everything. You see when it's busy and you see when you need more trains. It would really be a good use of data here. But I'm not sure that the data people produce, it's the data that actually could help to develop this kind of infrastructure, because people are not educated how to use technology.
Thanks. Vlad, do you want to add something?
Yes, the discussion that Noemi put in front of us, it's really interesting. Your question as well. Smart cities are a trend for a couple of decades now. At the beginning of this millennium, it's a discussion about smart cities. I think the solutions for some of the solutions, for example, taking traffic, some of the solutions, monitoring traffic, and we have good practices in the western part of Europe, as well as the United States, and some cities in Asia as well. This means the data policies that we want to see in our daily lives somehow. Yes, gather data from citizens. The interesting fact is that through gathering this data, you can understand the behavior of the citizens that are living in that city, and you can understand, you can use that data to create and apply different policies that answer better to their behavior. That's on one hand. On the other hand, it's a heated debate, an ethical discussion actually, towards who owns the data. Probably in the gathering of data, there are private companies and private sector involved. And we can see that companies like Airbnb or Uber and other companies alike that have access to data with regard to citizens and their behavior, and can easily observe the trends. But to make policies, you have to involve the local government. Also, maybe the citizens. It's an important fact that governance in a participatory way is implemented in a city. So it's really interesting how this very period of changes, with the struggle to include technology in governing a city on the one hand, and still keeping it green, as we can see gardens coming back to companies, buildings in the city. It's curious. Will be interesting how these two ideas will merge, and hopefully they will to improve our quality of life.
Yeah, thanks. I think you touched on a couple of very relevant issues. I mean, the quality of the data, the relation between citizens and technology, who owns the data, and regulations also on the use of this data. And can we trust governments to make a proper use of the data? I think this also has to do a lot with the local governments and with the relationship of trust between citizens and their governments. And meanwhile, most of our data is in the hands of private companies, and it's not even regulated or managed by government. Or if it is, it's very often in this dubious collaboration between private and public that sometimes are not very transparent. I don't know if anybody else want to contribute or to add to this discussion. Yeah, Christo?
I think when we're talking about data, Indonesia is quite interesting country to be talked about, because we have one of the biggest users of social media and internet in the world. But I wouldn't say that Indonesia is well developed enough where they can use data to govern, or if they know how to govern this data. I mean, of course, there's a smart city project back in 2014, but until now, the smart city is not very well developed, despite it's already more than 7 years, right? It's placed 94th on the smart city index out of 109 cities. So we scored pretty low and it's pretty bad. And when I talk about smart city, it's not like the AI monitor kind of things. It's just, and the government developed a platform where the citizen can report any misconduct on their daily lives. So for example, traffic or road closure, even floods, because yeah, we have a lot of floods in this tropical country, or construction. So one of the crucial thing in making this smart city a realization is collaboration. So if the citizen don't collaborate with the government, it's not going to work. This smart city project is not going to work. But up until now, we don't even have a regulation on the data protection, despite almost all countries in this world have data regulation, right? So I think it's very important to raise the issue of privacy and let the government know that we need some kind of regulation. I mean, there's a discussion on this data protection regulation, but it's stalled for almost like 2 years. So I think that's quite a problem and obviously a challenge to the smart government.
Yeah, thanks. True. Data protection, privacy, you know, all relevant issues. But I see that Noemi and Vlad want to intervene. Noemi first?
Oh, Vlad, go ahead. You were first. Okay, thank you. Well, I wanted to say a few things, like when you said about smart things, smart cities, AI and these kind of things. And I just remember that, yes, that's also a part of technology and smart cities. And this is the part that's for me, it's the raising the most questions about ethical smart cities, like surveillance technologies and these kind of things that can also, of course, lead to a safer city or a better governed city. And yeah, we all know examples where this is not helping to democratize governance, but to be more controlling. So yeah, it's also a thing that I'm starting to think about, like, what do I want? Do I want to live in a city where it's sustainable and safe, and we pay the price that everything we do and everywhere, the mobility is controlled and everything is supervised by governing entities that we cannot really trust, because we all know that data is also biased. It's also who gathers what kind of data and what is the selection criteria. And the other thing that I wanted to say, that who is represented by the data, because what I said, that here many people use technology in a really different way. So I cannot say that it's going to be a better place to live for my parents if they look at the data that I am producing. So what kind of smart city are we doing? Like, to be top one in the world and do a city that all the young people want to move in? And, like, you know, it's also a really big question, like, who are you serving as a government? Because the city should be about the people who live in it, not to attract or be top one. So yeah, data can be used in many ways, but the ethical part, it's a really important question. Who is served by the government, who uses the data that's supposedly produced by its citizens? Like, that's my conclusion, I think.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, surveillance, I think you put it really clearly, you know, the trade-off between data that can contribute maybe to a better city if there are agreements also, and if you have a government that can be trusted. But on the other hand, you know, everything is controlled. I mean, you know, that's also what we see in the Netherlands, where this whole idea of datification in smart city, you know, is much more advanced. But when you think about it, you know, from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed, pretty much every action that you carry out can be monitored. But yeah, so it's difficult to think how, you know, to find the balance. But maybe it's what Crystal was saying, you know, we need collaboration among all these different institutions. But definitely also the presence and the monitoring of the citizens. Vlad, what do you want to add to this?
Yes, this was something that precisely I wanted to add something on. The civil society contribution, it's really relevant, so I agree with that. And also, I agree with what you said earlier, Paola, to an extent, however, because I think that young people should be in the center of the efforts of creating and projecting the city that we want. But I see those efforts of co-production, co-imagining, co-brainstorming and everything with the done with the other generations together to build the city that that we want. Also, the struggle of using technology, because it was something mentioned before, it's not only to the other generations, to people that have greater ages. Young people have struggles with using technology also. There's a lot of data that is biased on the internet, whether it comes from media, from the press, or from series that we watch on Netflix and so on. And the, many young people do not know how to interpret the data and don't even sometimes recognize that it's biased. And that's why we need digital literacy, media literacy now more than ever for all generations.
Yes, you're probably right. I mean, there are very often it's the older generation, you know, that we think that they need data media literacy. But I think with the, you know, with the digital world changing so fast, maybe, yeah, we see a need for managing technology, internet, data, social media, maybe, you know, at all different levels. Well, this was it was interesting. I don't know if you, any of you, want to add something more, if you have the, you know, key solution to the problem of sustainability, urban sustainability, and maybe, you know, digital and data sustainability.
I think it should start from reimagining education. As Vlad also said, that this media literacy and digital literacy is really important. And yeah, I think the old education system just doesn't work in this world. Like, when everything is so mediatized, you cannot have kids reading books written 100 years ago and still trying to grasp that kind of lifestyle that the literature is all about. And also, it's not only this, but what kids are learning, they should choose. There should be more space to find out what you want, and also more in the digital era, not just go read the books and write in your little papers and things like this, because I see it on kids. My sister is a teacher and it just doesn't work anymore. So it starts of everything. I think it starts from education, because this is how you can build up a mentality towards a more sustainable way of living.
Thanks. Yeah, education. It's true. It's probably, you know, a relevant aspect to take into consideration and maybe update it more. But, you know, you can't also. Yeah, it's true that it's necessary to look at forward, but at the same time, you know, also think in this case we need a balance with with what's produced in the past, because certain concepts or certain ideas are still valid, even though, of course, I mean, you also have to deal, you know, with the tools that you have now at disposal. Christo?
Yeah. Well, I think in the case of Jakarta, first and foremost, we need to establish an equality to the digital infrastructure all across the country. Because, I agree with Vlad and Noemi that we should teach people to how to use digital literacy and media literacy, of course. But I think if there is no digital infrastructure in the area, how do we teach this kind of digital literacy, right? And of course, I think this digital literacy needs to be integrated to the curriculum at school, which is very important. So I think that's two way on how we start to build a sustainable city.
Thanks. So Noemi, you want to add something?
Yes, yes.
And then Vlad, and then I think we should close
okay.
the discussion, even though it's very interesting.
Quick, yes, I agree that we shouldn't throw out everything. I didn't mean that we should throw out the whole previous curriculum. We just have to integrate more newer ideas and concepts. And to respond to Christo, I agree. It's also in Romania that not everybody has access to internet or digital tools or even hardware. And now in the pandemic, this is a really big trouble. And the education system is failing now because of this. Because you cannot keep up online education if people don't have access to it. So yes, this is not only in Indonesia, this is a problem in other countries too, and also here in Europe, even though Europe seems to be in a really great position because we only think about Western Europe. So yeah, that's it.
Vlad?
Yes, so Noemi also covered some of my ideas, but indeed digital education goes hand in hand with infrastructure. Education for all kind of ages, it should be adapted and put into use. And there's a solution, something that comes to mind right now. It's the need of proactiveness from more stakeholders and actors in the society, and their involvement in decision making. Because if we know that they have a bigger picture, not just pieces of the puzzle, we can therefore have better policies that are implemented.
Thanks. Yes, I think that's the good way to end this discussion, participation of all the various stakeholders involved. That's probably what we need to get back, you know, more active involvement of all of us in the managing of cities, data and environment. Yeah, thanks a lot.